The Outdoor Show. It's the program that puts you into the peaceful and beautiful home of Mother Nature. It moves you back to that calm fishing pond up north, one step away from Lake Michigan, or into your hunting blind on a brisk fall morning. The Outdoor Show. It's a peaceful program. This is not your mother's outdoor show. This is the WHTC Outdoor Show, hosted by a guy who literally has hunting in his name. Tom Meddendorp is Dutch for Village in the Maiden, or King's Hunting Ground. Your co-host, sometimes, is Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery. It's time for what really happens when the guys go up north on that hunting trip. It's time for the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.
Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, West Michigan Bow Hunters, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's Outdoor News Leader. We are pre-recorded this morning, so hold your calls until we return to the studio live. I'm Tom Meddendorp. Tim Becker and I are here with Bob Coles of MOA Gunsmithing, and we're talking about rifles in Michigan's limited firearm deer zone. How are you guys?
Good. Glad to be back again.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I have to apologize to the listeners because we're pre-recorded again. This is the third one in August, and I apologize for that. We did do the live show over at the Riesling Farmers Co-op.
Yep.
Did you listen, Bob?
I did.
That was fun. It was kind of fun to be outside. Did the from the microphone, did that bug you a little bit or not?
Yeah. That was kind of funny. I had to keep getting people away further all the time.
Yeah, you should have seen it. We had a guy 50 yards back with the microphone, and then it worked.
You couldn't hear us. Hey, over there!
Yeah.
Now, we were trying it out for the very first time. We had never done it before. We got the three headsets we knew would work, and we thought sure that the microphone, the one that was making the squeal, that's the portable microphone where you just hold it, we thought sure that thing was going to work.
Yep.
But it didn't.
Yeah.
It works by itself, but it didn't work with the three headsets going.
Yeah, you could tell when he got closer to you.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but it was a lot of fun. And then I talked to a couple people later. They said, you know, if you hadn't done this show there, we wouldn't have showed up. But we did show up, and we bought seed for our food plots.
Nice.
Good.
We know it works. They were kind of hoping we'd stay there all day, but
it would have been nice if we could have.
It would have been great. Yeah. I would have loved to, but I really wanted to go fishing.
Well, they kept bringing food to you, you probably would have stayed.
Oh, absolutely.
I might have, I would have had to put a pole in my hand because I went fishing and I got a bunch of perch and crappie. I finally found the perch on the Muskegon River above the Hardy.
Cool.
And a nice little honey hole for them. And I actually, you know, the day that we're recording this today, I had some for lunch.
Oh, nice.
How do you like your fish prepared? Tim don't like
just,
fish.
I don't eat a lot of fish. And as long as it's perch or bluegill or walleye, I'm willing to eat it, and it's got to be deep fried.
I don't bread it. I don't deep fry it.
Yeah.
I did four different types so my son could check it out, some of my little things that I like to do. I did butter fried.
That must have been about 400 of your fish then.
It was all in a fry pan.
Yep.
I did butter fried with salt and pepper. I did fried in olive oil or oil fried with salt and pepper. And then I did butter fried with onions and garlic, a little salt and pepper. And then I did olive oil or oil fried again with onions, garlic, and red peppers.
What was your favorite?
The red pepper one.
Was it?
The final one. That was my favorite by far. So I had it. I ate some plain. I mean, I had a big old plate full. So Lucas tried all four. My daughter tried them. My daughter liked the butter fried with the salt and pepper.
Yeah, I would too.
And my son liked, of course, the red peppers I did. But then I took and I made a sandwich out of it too. And I'll tell you, if you don't have any tartar sauce, use some Caesar salad dressing.
Huh.
It was awesome.
Wow.
With the red pepper, right. You know, fish, it was excellent.
That perch and crappie or just perch?
I think it was just crappie on the sandwich because I had the bigger fillets.
Yep.
The perch, you know, they're longer and skinnier, so I put the bigger crappie fillet on the sandwich.
Yep.
And I put a couple of them on there because I like a meaty sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta stack it on there thick.
Well, yeah. If it's not thick, I mean, come on.
Right.
What's the value in it?
Otherwise, it's a bread sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, who wants all the bread?
Right.
You know, where's the fish? Where's the beef? Where's the fish? You know.
Right.
But I don't do the breading because I like to just eat the fish.
Oh, right.
So I don't do the breading. And I thought, you know, with this red pepper, this would be a good sandwich. So
sure.
I go to do the sandwich, and then I look for some sweet relish to make some tartar sauce.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any in the fridge. So I start digging around. I see that Caesar, and I see Thousand Island. I think, well, Thousand Island, there's McDonald's special sauce. And I sniffed it a little bit. Nah. I put the Caesar up there, and I sniffed that. I said, this might do it. So I put the Caesar on there, and I tried it, and I said, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So there's my fish witch.
Nice.
Anyway. You know, I do have to apologize that we're recorded because I have to be gone. It's not Tim's fault this time. Usually is, but
true.
I have to be gone because on August the 5th, I was elected as a precinct delegate for Ottawa County Republican Party. And then on August the 14th at the county convention, I was elected to be a delegate to the state convention on August 23, which is today, the day that the show is airing. But I have to be in Novi. So, you know, I can get places awful quick, but to get done at 8 o'clock and be ready for the general convention at 10 a.m. in Novi,
yeah,
ain't happening.
Tricky.
Very tricky. Very tricky. You know, maybe I could use one of those longer bullet casings to get a little more speed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
A little more speed, a little more velocity. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But the rifle zone, what used to be called the shotgun zone, I should say, has been renamed the limited firearm deer zone, and that's because of our newest regulation.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Our newest regulation, which I'm going to give you last year's reading of the game. What do we call it? We call it the Hunting and Trapping Digest that you pick up when you get your license. Last year's reading, rifles in the shotgun zone. Center fire or rim fire rifles may be used December 1 to November 9 in the shotgun zone. See page 11. It shows you where the zone is. During the open season for all species except no rifles may be used for deer, turkeys, and migratory game birds. Done. That's telling us that means during deer season we have to use a shotgun.
Yep.
We can't use rifles on migratory game birds or turkeys.
Yeah.
You can't shoot woodcock and you can't shoot waterfowl and you can't shoot turkeys.
Yeah. Well, pretty much what that's going for is coyotes and predators.
Yeah.
That's what you're using the rifle for.
The rifle's for.
Versus the shotgun.
Yep.
And then this year, the new regulations for, it's on the same page, page 17, right underneath the orange box that says Hunter Orange Clothing Requirements, which hasn't changed. That's still there. They just compacted the words to fit a little bit more on this page. But that says center fire or rim fire rifles may be used December 1 to November 9 in the limited firearm deer zone. See page 12. So now on page 12 tells us where that zone is. During the open season for all species except deer, turkey, and migratory game birds. Certain rifles capable of using .35 caliber or larger ammunition with straight-walled cartridge that has a minimum case length of 1.16 and a maximum case length of 1.80 inches and a .35 caliber or larger air rifle or pistol charged only from an external high-compression power source, parentheses, external hand pump, air tank, or compressor, parentheses, close, may be used in the limited firearm deer zone when taking deer.
So what that's saying is that opened that up to your straight wall pistol cartridges.
Right.
Yeah.
Of certain
sure
size.
Are some straight wall rifle cartridges available too that fit those dimensions.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys, when you heard this, if you ran down to grab a reloading book and just start flipping through the pages.
We did that,
and
yeah.
Looking at, okay, what's the choices here? What do we have? Minimum, maximum length, and let's see what we have for.
And now when they're talking about minimum, did you read the minimal length and maximum length?
Minimum length is a 1.16. Maximum case length is 1.80. Now, just to clarify, case length, that would be your casing
case,
from that
the
cartridge.
Bullet,
not
right?
The whole
yep,
bullet, just the whole cartridge, just the case. No bullet on the end of that case, making it the full cartridge.
Right.
So your case length can be 1.16 minimum and 1.80 maximum.
Yep.
And then it's got to be a .35 caliber or larger. So larger than a .35 caliber, .35 would be in inches, so everyone knows. I just find it a little funny the way it's worded here.
Yeah.
Because it makes it confusing for people.
Yeah.
In reading the review of the bill that was passed through the House, the DNR was opposed to this.
Yep.
I didn't realize that the DNR was opposed to it, but they were originally opposed to it. And then in that reading also, it was determined, I believe, and again, y'all can't use us for the law.
Right.
We just like to talk.
Yeah, that was our disclaimer.
But yeah, there's the disclaimer. I believe the way it was stated in that review is that the NRC, Natural Resource Commission, felt that we would receive more hunters in this zone because of less recoil.
And I agree 100%.
I believe it's going to bring more people out.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because the shotgun's going to have way more recoil than what these are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got the different levels of recoil for the guns that we're talking about that we can use now.
Yeah.
But it just makes sense. It just makes pure sense.
Right? Sure
if
does.
I can use my .44 Magnum handgun down here, which is in the past, but I couldn't use my .44 Magnum carbine.
Right.
It didn't make sense. When you looked at the velocities coming out of my carbine versus the velocities of these newer 12-gauge with the Magnums.
Or even the muzzleloaders.
And the muzzleloading rifles, which people can add powder to.
That's where I think it really, it takes over. And they did, me personally, now this is me speaking from what I know, they took out some of the straight wall cartridges that I don't think they should have, one being the .45-70. I would like to have been able to see that, offered as well.
Well, let's, you know what?
There's some, let's not say loopholes, but I really looked through the book Heavy Duty, and I found some of AR platforms where you can use straight wall cartridges, perfectly legal. And
does that include the Beowulf? I've had a lot of people ask questions on
that. Okay, we really do have to take a break. So I apologize, but we're going to get back to that in just a moment. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by West Michigan Bow Hunters, protecting our hunting rights and educating the next generation about our hunting heritage here in Michigan. West Michigan Bow Hunters is a chapter of Safari Club International. Remember, folks, we are pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until we return live. I'm pretty sure that's going to be next week.
Yeah.
Things come up, though, you know? Anyhow, I'm here. Tim is here with me, and we're talking with Bob Coles, MOA Gunsmithing. If you need to get a hold of Bob for some gunsmithing needs before the season here, you can call him at
399-1699.
399-1699.
Leave a message, and I do have another source you can go to for info. It's www.knowyourzero.com. It's a blog page I have. Lots of accuracy data and just ballistic stuff, and I try to update it once a month, and it's a good place to go to and just
know your zero.
Yep, KNOW, yourzero.com.
KNOWYOURZERO.com.
Yep.
Knowyourzero.com. That's a good place to go.
Yeah, it is.
Lots of information.
Should hang out there.
Wish I had time to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
I took time to hang out with you guys to record the show.
Yeah.
So we're talking about our rifles in the limited firearm deer zone. We had a little bit of precursor to that. So if people tuning in here, if you didn't catch that, go to the web, whtc.com, and listen to our podcast. That'll be there shortly after the show is done. Might even be there before because it's pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, excuse me. I took care of letting you know what it said last year what it says this year. Last year was called Shotgun Zone. This is called Limited Firearm Deer Zone. It has been changed. It's this zone for lower peninsula.
Yep.
The lower half of lower
peninsula. Well, and for people just tuning back in, give them the case dimensions again, because I get that every day people are calling and asking.
Oh. Minimum length of your casing on a 35 caliber or more, 35 caliber or larger, so down to a .35 caliber. That doesn't mean .35 is excluded. 3.5 is included. Yep. .35 caliber or larger, you can have a 1.16 minimum case length and a maximum 1.80 case length.
Straight walled, no
straight
shoulder.
Straight walled, it's a straight wall. No yep. neck down. And when we say neck down, that means the casing will become smaller to hold the bullet that's on the end of that right. cartridge, and then it's wider at the back for powder. And I was surprised. Somebody I would have thought knew what neck down meant the other day when I was by the store by Tim. Said, what does neck down mean? What is that? And so that had to be defined.
Yep.
And not everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But sometimes we assume people know these
oh, yeah.
things.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at this, you guys started throwing out, just before break, throwing out but different calibers. And yep. we'll throw those out in the next segment when we have lots of time. But in this shorter segment that we have here, I want to look at, we have the .35 caliber or larger, having 1.16 minimum and a 1.80 maximum. 1.16
case length.
Yeah. Minimum case length.
Yep.
Are we thinking that that's not going to be a humane kill if we have less
probably
case
keeps
length?
The velocity down.
Yeah, they're believing that.
Yep.
And one thing that I've heard a lot, your entry level, and you would know this more, Bob, because I'm sure you've done more research on the pistol cartridges, would be your .357 Magnum.
Right.
And I've had a lot of people come in, and I have sold these guns like hotcakes now.
Oh, yeah.
Me personally, I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for
you sold them like hotcakes. Do you still have some hotcakes left
yep,
at the store?
I still got hotcakes left. Oh. I still got rifles left.
We're going right after the show.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be great for youth, for females,
oh, yeah.
for elderly.
For that less recoil. Yeah.
And for me. I'm not a big fan of that punishing shotguns and stuff like that. I mean, most people don't like recoil, so I started to play around with them.
Can we say girly men?
Hey, I'm all for that.
I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
And I started playing around with these guns, and they're just fun to shoot.
Oh yeah.
They're a riot. Well, I
told you that a long time ago because I have them.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but you
accurate.
Want all those high power ones.
Oh, yeah.
Well. And something else that I got a lot of was customers coming in saying, well, I want the .357 because then for my younger kids or my wife, they can shoot a .38 out of it. And I said, wait a minute. Do your, you know, check into that, yeah. that case link.
Does it make it?
No.
It's doesn't.
Underneath. So it's .357.
Oh, sure.
Although it would shoot the .38, you cannot
so
shoot
the .38 special?
Yep. Is shorter case diameter.
Shorter
I think
than
it's
a 1.13,
yeah. isn't it?
Yeah, the minimum that they specified on there was .357 Magnum.
Yep. Yeah, and they directly
really?
Specify it,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
But now if I wanted to take my pistol out, because when I'm using a pistol, it just says .35 caliber.
Yes.
Right.
But
and
this
no
is
more
also,
than nine rounds in the chamber
talking,
in the magazine.
You're talking pistols.
Yep.
This new law is dealing with rifles.
Yeah,
rifles
I know, rifles but I could still that. Take my .357 Magnum, put
wait,
a .38
pistol,
Special in it,
yeah.
yep.
and go out. Now, that's got less velocity than what a rifle's going to have with a
oh,
.38
yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
Yep. But
you see the mixed up stuff
well,
I'm seeing here?
Hey, yeah.
It's
the
mixed
only
up.
Thing we're doing
it's
is,
mixed
is
up.
Getting the laws that were given to us for rifles.
Yes.
Right.
And that .357, I think, is a great little
oh,
round
yeah.
out of that rifle. I've yet to sell a .357.
Can't
everything
imagine
I've
it wouldn't
sold.
Be because my .357 in my
yeah.
pistol is a great round.
Yep. yep.
Take down running deer at
oh,
50
yeah.
yards.
Mm-hmm. On lucky shots from Tom Meddendorf.
Lucky
that's
shots
all right.
from Tom Meddendorf. You could call it yeah, luck
it
all you
be.
Want.
It should be. It's down, but
it,
no.
It was beautiful, though. And lucky as it was, it went in at the back of the rib cage because it was quartering away running. Back of the rib cage and blew up the heart. Right
it was
there.
On the sixth shot, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah, that's all right.
That was the second reload, right?
That's it, Tim. I'm taking Lucas and Jacob in just so they can testify for you.
Well, yeah, I know you bribed them all these years. That's you knew I'd come along.
I
one
feed
day.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that usually helps.
Yeah, yeah. But but that .357, I have not sold one yet. I think it's going to be just a phenomenal seller. Everybody's wanted the .44 Mag.
Somebody's coming in today, right after the show. Farmers Co-op Elevator in Hudsonville is your food plot headquarters with over 40 different seed varieties to choose from, providing in-house soil testing as well as fertilizers, lime, and equipment to plant, maintain, and get maximum performance out of your food plot. Visit the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Remember, folks, we're pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until we return live.
There's just something about that that makes you grin when you say that.
I know, I can't help it.
I was waiting for a blood vein to pop out of his head on that one.
It's
he
hard
was
to
in
get it out because I start smiling.
Yep.
Powder horn, guns, and archery. I just love doing
that. You're welcome that I make you feel manly. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, you know, if people go back in those recordings and they listen back to the days when you tried it.
Yep.
Powder horn, guns, and archery.
Let's get the archives.
Yeah. Making fun of me because I don't got a deep voice.
Yeah, well.
Someday I'll man up.
Someday. When you can learn to shoot one of those 44 magnums.
Oh.
Anyway, okay, back to rifles and limited firearm deer zone.
Yep.
When we left the break, we were about to talk about these different calibers and the different ones that we can use. Yep. And specifically, we have to remember 1.16 minimum case length, 1.80 maximum case length, and .35 caliber or larger.
Right.
So when we talk about these measurements, we're talking in inches. .35, that's .35 of an inch, or 3/500ths of an inch. And then 1.16, so 1 inch plus 1/16. So 1.16, it has to be that long.
Minimum.
Can't for the case length.
Yeah.
Cannot
the
be.
Most, or the longest it can be, is 1.80.
Right.
So let's start talking about some of those different calibers we can use. First right. of all, we know we can use 357 Magnum.
Yeah, yep. And when I heard this, I'm a ballistic nut. So right away I went into speeds and ballistics and then checked case sizes. And you're going to see highly advertised 357 Magnum, 357 Maximum, 41 Mag, 44 Mag, and 460 Smith & Wesson. That's the stuff they say. These are the cartridges you can choose from. A lot of bolt guns and some lever guns. So I read the law again and went according to that, and I found the 450 Bushmaster, which is an AR platform upper that you can pin on your lower. If you have a 223 varmint rig, you can swap it out. Now you can deer hunt with it. That has a maximum.
So you can swap that 223 for these?
Yeah, two pins, the upper comes off,
yeah.
And you can put a 450 Bushmaster on that lower.
Oh, see, I thought you would have to go off that 10 platform.
Nope.
Nice.
No, nope.
Everybody's got those.
Yep. If you've got a 223 and you use it for plinking or whatever, and it's an AR platform, and you were to purchase a 450 Bushmaster complete upper,
yep.
Pop two pins, put it on, now you can go deer hunting down here. That fits into the 1.70 case. That's the length of it, so you're within the law. And it's pushing a 250 grain bullet about 2,200 feet per second. So you're really getting some good velocity. The other ones that were mentioned earlier, they average 1,500 to 1,700 feet per second.
That's a serious difference.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and the bullet weights on the other ones range from 158 to 240. So you're running a heavier bullet, you're running faster velocities, kinetic energy, knockdown power.
I just found this online, too, the 500 Smith & Wesson. Which they do make in bolt guns. No, they made them in single shots. Is a case length of 1.6 inches.
Yeah.
So that 500 Smith & Wesson will work. That is no longer a production gun. H&R did build them,
yep.
And they flat told me that there is still quite a few gun shops and a couple suppliers that have those old guns. Hey. And that's been a real sought after one.
It's worth digging into this and doing your homework and looking at different cases.
But this AR frame, what you're talking about, makes a whole lot of sense. Remember, it's still a five-round maximum.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Another one that falls in is the 50 Beowulf. It's based on a 50 Action Express case. That total length is 1.650. That's mouth to the base. That's pushing a 300 grain bullet around 1900 feet per second. And it has somewhat ballistic equivalent to the old 4570s.
That's the for pure power. That's the highest we're going to find, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, in other words, the 50 hits hard.
Yeah.
And that, that's an awesome performer. If you it brings the load to about 2,300 and 1,400 pounds. So at 1,900 with the 300 for feet per second, that's a hitter.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be a thumper.
So the 450 Bushmaster, the 50 Beowulf are good AR platforms to put them on. Yep. For the semi-autos.
And if you have the ARs, all you need is the uppers, and you can purchase those uppers. Now,
yes.
is that hand loaders only, or do they sell factory ammunition?
They sell factory ammo, or
on
you
both
can hand load on both.
No
yep.
kidding. Good, good.
Yep.
So I can just take my 223
yep.
and swap it out with the
Beowulf or the, 460?
Or the Bushmaster. 450 Bushmaster.
450 Bushmaster or the Beowulf.
Yep. Yes.
And you may use that hunting.
Yep. As long as you stick to your, you know, capacity for rounds.
Right. I have a 5-round magazine,
yep. Yep.
right? So that I have no more than 6 in the chamber and the magazine.
Right.
Correct
yep.
or incorrect?
As far as I know, now, once again, we're not, you know,
you
stating the law here. Yeah, if you got it.
2014.
I think it's 5-round total.
Shell capacity for shotguns and centerfire rifles. It is unlawful to hunt with a semi-automatic shotgun or semi-automatic rifle that can hold more than 6 shells.
Oh, nice.
In the barrel and the magazine mm-hmm. combined, unless it is a .22 caliber rimfire. Fully automatic rifles are illegal for hunting.
Yeah.
Just so people know that, because a lot of, even law enforcement, a lot of the guys think that fully automatic rifles are not legal, and they are legal. You can own them.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You can own them. You can go out and shoot them. You can't use them for hunting.
Right.
All shotguns used for migratory game birds, including woodcock, must be plugged so the total capacity of the shotgun does not exceed 3 shells. So if I got a 5-round magazine,
yep.
that makes 1 in the chamber, 5 in the magazine, that gives me my total of 6 for my semi-automatic.
Right.
Like my .30-06 that I got by you there.
Yeah.
That's got a 5-round magazine,
and
so that
five.
I have a total of 6.
So you can hunt with 6 rounds in your weapon.
Well,
five
I don't carry a weapon.
Chamber.
I use a tool. My gun is a tool of my trade.
But whatever.
I'm not defending against a deer. I'm.
You never know.
I'm harvesting.
You rub a little deer urine on you during
just
the
saying. Shot?
He could charge you.
Just
yeah.
saying. I don't need to call it a weapon.
Right.
But anyway, so you can have 6 rounds in that.
Yes, you can. And Tim hates it when I rag on him for the weapon thing.
Oh, yeah.
Politically correct type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, it's more about just being
say,
completely
yeah.
correct. And I'm kind of bummed. The .38 Special has a 1.155. That's
yeah,
5,
that's what I thought
thousands.
It was.
5,
yeah, it was
thousands
real close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
But now, I guess, you know, we should talk about, you know, start talking about the actual production-made guns, the guns you're going to, most people are going to find.
You're going to see a lot of 44 mags
yep.
around here.
44 mags and 357.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
now,
they're a great brush gun, though.
Yes.
Because of the weight of the bullet, the velocity
yeah.
that you push in.
Yep.
It's a great brush gun because you have the short barrel. Most of those 44s come as a carbine,
yep.
you know, your shorter barrel.
All right.
You can move around, and we yep. have a lot of brush around here.
Right.
Yep.
We got a lot of thickets.
But
you know?
You can also push some distance with that gun. Far more than what I was thinking. I thought 75 to 100 yards,
oh,
and
yeah.
I think it'll start to open up quite a bit.
Right.
And I have shot 3 different rifles now in the 44 and multiple different factory ammunitions. And the furthest I've taken them was 150, and there was still excellent groups behind them. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and shoot 150.
Right.
But the old wise tale of a 50-yard gun is not true.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome gun for around here.
I always figured
it's
a 100-yard gun.
And I think it is.
And I think for, around here, 100-yard
yeah.
shots are great shots.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
right.
it's a versatile all-around gun. Let it be in the thick brush or if you're hunting the edge of a field.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can poke out 100, 125 yards.
Yep.
I've noticed it to be far more accurate than the majority of the slug guns I've shot.
Oh, wow.
And the price of ammunition.
Well, it's because of that big old bullet coming out
oh,
and the
yeah.
way it's pushing on the wind. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
How are you
going to.
I mean,
yeah.
come on.
Hard to drift that thing.
Well,
it may be a sabotaged slug and everything
yeah.
else, rifled barrel, but you're still pushing a very large chunk of lead.
Yeah.
Whatever
well, and a lot
you, whatever
of it
you
is
think.
Recoil anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
You know that these 12 gauges are kicking. So, yeah, anybody that's recoil
people jerk
sensitive.
The rifle.
Yeah.
Yep.
yeah.
And,
or the shotgun, I should say.
Now, I've fired. Like the H&R makes one that's a single shot, and so does CVA. And I fired both of those. And they're with, now they have different ammunitions that I wasn't aware of. They do make a 44 Magnum rifle ammunition,
right,
which is hotter than your pistol ammunition. And they also make that lever.
That's the Hornaday stuff.
Yeah, the lever.
Soft tip. It's got a rubber tip on
yeah,
it.
Lever,
yeah.
Lucian? Lever Lucian.
Yeah, that's it.
And they all shot really well. But I did notice recoil differences in them. So I guess before, talk to wherever you buy your gun first when you get into the 44 mags, because I've actually sold a bunch of them to 6-, 7-, 8-year-old, you know, for their parents, for them to let their children use them for deer season. And just make sure you know what you're getting into before doing that. Because then we started playing around the last week and a half, 2 weeks, getting a rifle ready for myself to take bear hunting next weekend. I'll be up bear hunting and way up in Canada there. And we put some 265 Hornaday interlock.
Oh, okay.
Which we talked to Hornaday, and they said that's the bullet to use for bears out of your 44 Magnums. And I was dumbfounded on how hard that thing actually recoils compared to the 240s. I mean, it was quadruple.
Right.
And like I was saying to you a little bit ago, you being a ballistic nut, it just was mind-boggling how much more recoil was there with 25 grains more.
But you'll never feel that when you're up hunting.
Not when you're up hunting.
It'll feel like a 22 just popping off.
You'll never feel it, and that's a very accurate gun. But you know what? That's still 50% less recoil than your 12-gauge.
Yeah.
And I'm just tickled that they're allowing us to use these guns.
Oh, I know it. Yep. I know. When I heard that, I couldn't get to the reloading books fast enough and start paging through them.
Yep. Now, I talked to a bunch of customers, too, that, you know, said, well, a 44 Magnum's not enough to kill a deer or a bear. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. Yeah. And then Al, everybody that's been to my store knows who Al is. And Al, he was consistently killing hogs in Texas with a pistol at 125 yards with his 44 mags.
Wow.
Well, there's plenty of power there. And then another guy that'll be up there with me, he's harvested four black bears, two of which were over the 500-pound mark.
Nice.
And they don't move. There's plenty of power behind these guns for it. So the conception that a lot of people have is, you know.
And a lot of shot placement.
No, I know I'm going back just a little bit here, but I was looking up on some different, searching some things for the 44 Magnum pistol versus rifle. What I'm getting off of here, so help me understand. What I'm getting off of here is that, and when I say that, I'm talking about off my computer when I do the search. Pistol and rifle ammo of 44 Magnum are the same, but you would purchase a lower
velocity
grain bullet, higher grain bullet for the rifle, lower for the pistol.
I believe it's velocities coming out of them, not necessarily the.
You're going to create more velocity with a rifle barrel.
Yeah.
There's one of these posts that I was looking at talking about 250 to 400 feet per second faster out of the rifle.
Out of the rounds, yeah. But I don't. What you're saying that people aren't shooting the 240 grains out of the pistols, and they're shooting more of the 185.
The 240 out of the pistol and the rifle.
Yep.
They're not shooting the larger ones.
Right. The 265, 300s.
Yes,
yeah.
Those are coming out of the rifle. That's where they're saying the difference is. You would get the larger, but you can shoot either one out of there.
Yeah.
Oh, either one would go. I believe that the rifle ammunition was originally invented in the 44 mag to be a little hotter load for the Ruger that was made, that semi-auto. Because they were having such problems cycling handgun ammunition out of that gun.
So does the box say rifle ammo versus pistol ammo?
Yes.
Because I checked all the boxes I have at home. I don't have any difference.
Right. And you wouldn't know unless they sold it to
weight,
you.
The weight of them.
Yep. And they had rifle ammunition. At least this is when I talked to Hornaday.
Okay.
They made rifle ammunition for that Ruger.
Because it
1044,
needed,
is it?
Needed to be hotter. In order
Yep. That they had to have hotter because 80% of their shooters quit shooting their ammunition and quit shooting ammunition because they were literally having stovepipes that they were jamming. So they made hotter loads. Now, H&R, when I've talked to them, and not Ruger. See, I shoot that Ruger 7744, which is in the frame of their rifle and being a bolt action.
Yep.
That'll cycle anything as a bolt action, you know, and it shoots it real good. But the H&R has recommended that if you can still find the rifle ammunition, that's the stuff to use for pushing it past 100.
Oh, okay.
Now, I shoot a lot of the Hornaday out of that single shot, and so do my customers.
Let's recap that and move on when we come back. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235. Or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes are offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328, or on your computer at mifirearmsets.com. That's mifirearmsets.com. Remember, folks, we're pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until we return live. And if you wonder why we're pre-recorded, go to WHTC.com, listen to the podcast, because I told you all about it at the beginning. And we're talking, for those of you who tuned in late, we're talking about rifles in the limited firearm deer zone. I know we're pre-recorded, so you can't call in and ask questions. But what we're gonna take questions in the upcoming weeks, and we're hoping that Bob's gonna be by his phone so he can answer those questions.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just gonna sit there and wait for it to ring.
Tim's gonna be in Canada for a little bit, so he won't be able to answer them right away. But we will take those questions, we will find those answers and get them to you, because that's what we're here for, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Yeah. So, in talking about this and talking about all those different calibers and loads that we were talking about, people remember, we're talking about a .35 or .35 caliber, .35 right. of an inch. That's our diameter of our bullet. And then our casing has to be a straight-walled case that has a minimum length of 1.16 and a maximum length of 1.80. Keep in mind, the .38 Special, although it's very much like a .357 Magnum, is only 1.155 inches. It's 5 thousandths short. You can't use it. And I understand why, because I looked up ballistics on the web for that. Did you have some numbers on that?
The 38 Special? Not on the 38 Special.
I pulled up that 38 Special versus the 357 data. And I'm just going to look across here real quick and get a comparison on just one of them. If we look at, let's say, a 672 feet per second, that's 148 grain wad cutter versus a plus P at 793 feet per second, and that comes out of a Smith & Wesson M60. It shows for something similar, we'll go here, 1,398 feet per second
with the
out of a Magnum.
Yeah.
That's you're talking like double the speed.
Yeah.
On those. I mean, and there's a whole bunch of other numbers here, too. There's a lot of stuff. But we're talking nearly double the speed on 357 Magnum versus 38 Special. So just a little hint here when people talk about personal protection loads. 338 Special is a minimum to use.
Yep.
Okay. And let's look at it, folks. We've got our NRC, Natural Resource Commission, saying this is what we can use. This puts us in line with our surrounding states because they allow the same things.
Yep.
Indiana was a big factor in us getting these
figured out for a lot of years.
But when we're talking about our minimum case length and our maximum case length, we're talking about we don't want the bullet to go too far, but we want it to be a high enough velocity to make a humane kill.
Mm-hmm. And the 35 caliber you mentioned is a minimum bullet diameter.
Yeah, because we need enough weight.
You can use a larger bullet diameter.
Yes, you can.
35 caliber is minimum.
Like my .44 Magnum.
Right.
Yep. Well, now let me...
those girly guys don't shoot those.
Yeah. While we're there, let's talk about this real quick. Just cover it for a second. Velocity out of a 357 Magnum, out of the rifle, more than enough to do what we want to do.
Yep.
Is that going to be, if somebody wants to try to find a little more accurate gun to stretch it better to 150, would you do the 357 or would you stay with the 44 personally as a gunsmith because of the ballistics coming out of it?
Well, if you're talking hand loading it?
No, I'm talking factory ammunition for younger or elderly.
The stuff I pulled off when I was just getting some rough numbers, the 357 was going 158 grain bullet. And the 44 was a little heavier than that, so it's like, you know, what are you looking for? You want a heavier bullet you're going to push?
What about accuracy traveling further?
Accuracy is really, it's an irrelevant term because accuracy falls a lot on the shooter.
Correct.
A lot on conditions. A lot of these guns are going to be.
Instead of calling it accuracy, let's call it consistency.
Consistency, okay.
And our consistency, that's a whole new game that we've talked about before here that deals with the twist, the length, the bullet, the grain, the amount of powder versus the weight of the bullet. That all has to match up to get consistency versus accuracy.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But what I'm saying, you know, I'm trying to make it an easy.
You're trying to get an easy answer to
right. I don't think
question.
We got
to
get too. No, yeah, I don't think we got to get too in depth here. I'm just saying.
What can we make a further shot with?
With the age limit being removed out of Michigan, there's a lot of 6-7 year old kids hunting. Your recoil is going to be far, far, far less.
With the 357.
With the 357. Yeah. So what I'm wondering is for
357
females,
versus 44
yeah,
Magnum,
females and
which
younger
one's
going to
give us a better shot?
Yeah. Is it going to be, in my opinion, it'll be far easier to hold a better group with because of the recoil for a younger person, that one, you know, that 100-yard range.
Right. You're still pushing 1,700 feet per second with the 357.
So don't be afraid of
it. No.
That's moving.
That will, you know, that'll put a deer down easy. Yep. Not
so
a problem.
Can I ask, does that clarify, is the question that you posed, if I say it, 357 Magnum versus 44 Magnum, which can get us more distance to make our shot?
Yeah, which one can pull a little more distance together, but which one's going to be, what would you recommend as a better choice for a child, a woman?
357.
Okay, just because of
the... For one thing, you don't want to start somebody out in this game and work a flinch into them.
Or,
I would rather start them out with something a little lighter, a little smaller, build their confidence, and... Just stay away from the whole flinch thing.
And it all comes to the bullet that's choose to be used in that gun, too, as well.
Yep.
You know.
Now, the 44s, you can shoot a heavier bullet, and you can match that 1,700 feet per second. It's going to kick harder. It's going to have more bang to it. And if you're introducing somebody into the sport, you want to make it a very pleasant transition. You want them to enjoy being out in the
make
woods.
Make it fun.
Yeah, make it a lot of fun. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with shooting a light recoiled rifle.
It's like in the past we used the 243.
Right.
We'd go up to the rifle zone versus the shotgun zone, which is now going to be rifle zone versus limited firearm deer zone. But the 243 was always a less kick for the younger,
But
the
let's
smaller,
go to the 223
females,
now.
You know,
there's a lot of people using the 223 out there. I use it myself.
Not for deer.
Oh, yeah. You can use 223s for deer.
In the rifle zone.
In the rifle zone. Oh, not here.
Not in the limited firearm deer zone.
Specify that. I saw that look on your face. But, using it for deer, a lot of people say that that's, you know, an inhumane bullet to use, and absolutely is not.
Yeah.
But it could be, depending on the bullet used in that that gun.
Well, guys, I hate to say it, but we got to go.
Boy, we could talk on this for days.
We definitely could. I think what we need to do is we need to gather questions.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back again a little bit later into the season firearm deer season comes along, and we'll cover more of this. But we got to encourage people to get out and sight in what they're going to do.
And
get on down to the store because Tim has all the stuff there for this new change. Tim's got the rifles. He's got the ammo. He's got the information. Get on over to knowyourzero.com. And when we say know your zero, that's K-N-O-W, know your zero. Okay. .com. That'll give you some information. That's a blog that Bob runs, right?
Yep. I'm going to update it with information on this new house bill.
And let us know what you need. You can get a hold of me. Just do info@mifirearmsets.com. info@mifirearmsets.com. And we'll take care of those questions coming in. We'll get them over here on the radio, and we'll cover the information for you. Thank you very much for coming in, Bob.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you all
Thanks
for listening to today's show, and we'll talk to you again next week right here on The Outdoor Show.
Thanks for listening to the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by Powderhorn Guns and Archery and My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.